I take the pins out of my hair, then brush it vigorously and pull it up in a high ponytail. My phone buzzes. No problem. Meet me at the elevator. Bring your Kindle. I don't bother slipping back into my shoes and walk barefoot down the hall just as the elevator opens and there's Mac, looking tall and sexy. "You're tired," he says. "To the bone," I reply and join him in the elevator. I immediately wrap my arms around his torso and lean into him. "But this is nice. What happened at work?" "My help called out the sick kid and we got slammed. I was the only owner there tonight, so I was also fielding questions and stuff. I was just super busy." The doors close. "Check it out," he says. "The code to the top floor is 4955. "Okay. Remember it." "Yes, sir." I smile and close my eyes, enjoying the way he's tucked me against his side so I can rest my head on his shoulder. When we reach the top, he leads me out of the elevator. I expect him to walk to the door of his condo, but he leads me in the opposite direction. "This way," he says, holding my hand. "This is one of the reasons that I bought the place." He opens a gate, and we step into the most beautiful rooftop terrace I've ever seen. Pots of flowers are blooming in a riot of different colors. Edison lights crisscross overhead, and they're lit, casting a pretty glow to the space. In the middle is a pergola with deep cushioned furniture. "I can remove the cover," he says, watching my gaze. He clicks a button, and it rolls back, revealing a big sky full of stars. "Mac, this is gorgeous!" He nods and gestures for me to sit next to him on a couch, then pulls me against him. "I was never much of a snuggler," I say, and sigh when he tips my chin up so he can kiss me deeply. "But this is nice." "I won't disagree with you there," he says. "I think this is a great place to come relax, read, nap, and now you have access to it too." I look up at him in surprise. "You don't have to do that." "I want to," he smiles. "Honestly, I haven't used it much since I moved in. I might more now with you. But even if I'm not home, you're welcome to come up here and use the space." I take a deep breath and do my best to keep the threatening tears at bay. This might be the nicest thing anyone has ever done for me. He frowns down at me, but I continue before he can say anything. "I mean it. You pay attention, and that means a lot." He takes my hand in his and kisses my knuckles. "You mean a lot." And just like that, my heart melts. "Thank you." I hug him tight, then look around excitedly. "I'm going to get a lot of use out of this. I love my reading chair downstairs, but sometimes I need a change in scenery." "Exactly." "Thanks for this." "You're welcome." "Do you take care of the flowers and stuff?" He laughs and shakes his head. "No, the previous owner hired a company to handle it, and I saw no reason to change it. I don't have a green thumb." "Me neither. Riley can make anything grow beautifully, and Mia has an amazing herb garden, but I am hopeless at gardening." "That's okay. You don't have to tend the garden. Just enjoy it." I sigh in happiness and lean against him for a long minute, then remember the sad look in his eyes this afternoon and glance up at him. "Are you willing to tell me what had you upset this afternoon?" He frowns and seems to struggle with himself for a minute.
"Well, I told you that I don't get along well with my parents."
"Yes."
"But I heard from my mom this afternoon. She wanted money. She always wants money."
"Are your parents still married?" I ask and turn so I can see him better, holding his hand in mine.
"Yes. Dad used to be a successful realtor, but his business went to shit about 10 years ago when the market fell."
I nod, encouraging him to keep talking.
"He started gambling."
He closes his eyes and shakes his head.
"He blows through any money they get, and Mom is the one that suffers because of it, having to worry about how they'll pay bills and buy necessities."
"That doesn't seem fair," I say softly.
"No, it doesn't."
"What do you do when she asks for money?"
"Chase and I used to just give her the money, but he'd get his hands on that too and blow it. Sometimes he comes out ahead, but more often than not, he loses. So Chase and I decided a few years ago that we wouldn't give her cash, and instead we'd pay the bills she needs help with or take her to the grocery store. That's smart. Still pisses me off. Of course it does. You're the therapist. Why do I feel so fucking guilty?
I sit up and squarely face him now, still holding his hand.
Do you want me to turn the therapist on? Because I'm happy to do that. But I'm also happy to just listen and let you talk. No. I'd really like to hear someone else's opinion on this.
I nod, gathering my thoughts.
Well, I think it's good that you set some boundaries on how you're willing to help her. That's important. I want her to leave him, but she won't.
That's not your call to make, I reply.
And that's hard for you because you're used to calling shots, knowing what's best, and you love her.
Pretty much. You and Chase have to be consistent in your boundaries.
That's hard because she's your mom, but it will help.
There are also places your dad can go for help.
He won't.
He shakes his head in frustration.
We've tried. Mom's pretty docile and she loves him, so she doesn't want to rock the boat too much.
Well, then I'd say you're doing pretty much everything you can.
You're helping her, and you've offered to help him.
It all just pisses me off, he grumbles, then takes a deep breath.
But thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Would you like to read for a bit?
I grin and pass him my Kindle.
I'll never turn you reading to me down. I love your voice.
He opens the e-reader and begins to read, soothing both of us until I can hardly keep my eyes open. The next thing I know, I'm wrapped in his arms and we're falling asleep, right here, under a sky full of stars.
Chapter 10, Mac. I think we should start three more tours, Chase says 2 weeks later. We're sitting in my office going over numbers and business plans for the rest of the year. Ours are full and booked out 3 months in advance. I'm good with that. Let's start looking for employees this week. Chase nods, writing notes furiously on his legal pad. I'm a tech geek. All of my notes, my calendar, are all on my phone. Chase likes to keep track of things the old-fashioned way. We've owned this particular business for a little over a year. Before that, we co-owned a chain of bars here in Portland and Seattle and sold them at the height of the market, making enough money for both of us to retire. But we both love to work and build businesses, so we decided to dive headfirst into an area that we both enjoy, wine. Wine is popular right now, and it hasn't disappointed us in the least, business-wise. This year has been incredibly profitable for our company, Sips, and we're only getting busier. What next? Chase asks, just as his phone rings. He scowls. It's Mom. Money. It's always about money. I shake my head in disgust, but Chase answers. I'd do the same. She's our mother. Hi, Mom. He listens for a moment, then rubs the back of his hand over his mouth. That's his, I'm gonna punch something I'm so frustrated, move. I'll have to think about it, because that's a lot of money, Mom. It doesn't matter that I can afford it. It's a lot of money. What the fuck? Chase shakes his head and holds up his hand. I'll get back to you later today. Love you too. Bye. He clicks off and pushes out of his chair to pace the room. I just paid all of their rent and utilities 2 weeks ago, I say, my voice hard. What the fuck does she want now? $5,000, he replies, and props his hands on his hips, staring out the window. If their bills are paid, why do they need that much? He's in the hole, again. I scratch my scalp in agitation and stand to pace myself. Let's go over there. Why? To talk to her in person. I want to get her out of there. She won't leave him, Chase says. But we can go talk to her. She doesn't sound good. I stand and grab my keys, Chase on my heels as we jog down to my car and drive to our mother's house out in Beaverton. It's only a short drive from downtown and traffic is light this time of day. Well, this is a sweet surprise, Mom says when she opens the door and sees us standing there. Her dark hair is graying, and she stopped going to have it colored and cut a few years ago, because Dad found her Just For Me fund and stole it. My dad has turned into a Class A dick. She's dressed in a pretty dress with small white flowers on it. Her makeup is done, as if she's about to go out for lunch with her friends. But she's not. "Can we come in, Mom?" I ask. "Of course, this is your house too," she replies, and steps back for us to enter. We didn't grow up in this house. Because of Dad, they lost our childhood home years ago. This house is rented in my name because the alternative was my parents being homeless, and Chase and I aren't willing to let that happen. The house smells like cleaner. Since Dad got sucked into the gambling hole, Mom has become obsessive about keeping the house clean. I'm no PhD, but even I know that it's because keeping the house clean is the only thing she has control over. "We wanted to talk," Chase says as we all sit in the living room. "We're worried about you, Mama." "Oh, I'm fine." She waves him off and stands. "Are you hungry? I can make some tuna fish sandwiches for lunch." "No, Mom, we're not hungry. We'd like to talk about your phone call to Chase earlier." "You told him?" she asks Chase, clearly pissed off. "He was sitting next to me," Chase replies. "He heard the call." "Well, that was private," she says, smoothing her hands down her skirt. "You should have left the room." "Because you don't want me to know that you're hitting Chase up for money just 2 weeks after I paid all of your bills?" I ask, not bothering to gentle my tone. "That's bullshit, Mom." "I will not tolerate that language in my house," she says, speaking to me like I'm 9. "You may speak like a hoodlum when you're not here, but you won't do it around me." "Why do you need another $5,000? Chase asks. "Because I do." She clasps her hands in her lap and clamps her mouth shut. "Mom, we just want you to talk to us about this." "I don't know why," she replies. "I just want the money. You can afford it." "That's not the point," I reply, as Chase stands and paces the living room. "You can't have another $5,000 in bills to pay already." "Dad's in trouble," Chase says, and Mom looks to the ground, flushed. "That's it, isn't it? He's in the hole." "He didn't mean it," she begins, but Chase paces away, cursing a blue streak. "Don't you speak about your father like that!" "Mom, this is insane. He's ruined both of your credit. He drains your accounts as soon as any money hits, and you have to hide what little money you have from him just so you can go to the grocery store. When is enough enough?" "He's my husband. He's killing you." "Stop it!" She shoves up to her feet. "He's a good man who has been going through a bad spell." "For a decade," Chase adds. "I won't give up on him. Either you'll give me the money I need or you won't, but I won't stand here in my own home and be lectured to by you two." "We won't be giving you more money for his gambling," I reply. "If you choose to leave, we will help you, and I won't have you starve, so there's that. But I will not pay for his gambling habit." "He's your father," she says. "I don't recognize him," Chase says, "and we want nothing to do with him." "Get out of my house," Mom says, glaring at both of us. "You have the means to help your family, and you won't. I'm ashamed of you." "That shame works both ways," I reply, and walk out of the house and to my car. Chase is right behind me. I glance at the house, but Mom isn't looking outside. The house is still. "I can't believe this," Chase mutters. "We've never helped Dad gamble. What makes her think we'd start now?" "I think it's worse than she's willing to say," I reply, and drive away, feeling more helpless than I ever have in my life. "But I mean it, Chase. I won't let her be homeless or hungry, but I will not give her cash." "I agree, brother," he replies with a heavy sigh. "I need a drink. I know a place for that." "Hi there, handsome," Kat says with a wide grin when I pick her up for dinner later that night. She looks amazing in tight jeans, rolled up, and a blue blouse tied at her waist. Her hair is a riot of curls, pinned back on one side with a skull barrette. "You're gorgeous," I say, as I pull her in for a long, hot kiss. She tastes like candy, and you taste even better. "I've discovered Mike and Ike's," she replies with a laugh. "I'm addicted." "They've been around for a lot of years," I reply, and lead her to the elevator. "I know, but I've never had them. Now I can't stop eating them." She takes my hand in hers and kisses my thumb. "I'm happy to see you." I'm always happy to see you, I reply, and cage her in the corner of the elevator, kissing her madly. I think I'm addicted to the candy, too. She grins. I'll keep eating them, then. But it's your fault if I gain 100 pounds. You'd be gorgeous at any size. I lead her to my car. Did you have a good day? I did. I cleaned my condo, went to the grocery, spoke to my mom for a bit, and Riley and I went to get pedicures. That's a busy day, and it's not even Sunday. I know. I was surprised when Mom called, but she said she was missing me. It was kind of sweet. I'm glad. I smile over at her and pull into the valet parking at the restaurant. I didn't wear anything fancy, Kat says, eyeing the valet. I didn't either. I'm pretty sure they'll still park the car for us. I wink at her, deal with the car, and escort her into the restaurant. It's a steakhouse, but it's not necessarily fancy. It can go either way. We get settled at the table. I order a nice bottle of red and reach for Kat's hand when the waitress leaves with our order. What else happened today? Riley told me about this dude she went out with the other night. Kat rolls her eyes and takes a sip of her water. He sounds like a douche canoe. Why? Because he said he'd pick her up at 7, but got there at 8:15, then took her to dinner, but said he forgot his wallet, and then still expected her to have sex with him. Please tell me she decked him. Kat laughs, sending a wave of electricity down my back. No, but she did tell him to go fuck himself. Good. Riley's not good at dating. I'm not sure why, but she seems to attract the losers. Dating is rough, I reply, and thread my fingers through hers. Our wine arrives, and we go through the motions of smelling the cork, tasting the wine, and then watching the waitress pour it into our glasses. To you, the most beautiful woman I've ever known. Thank God she's chosen to hang out with a loser like me. She smiles and clinks her glass to mine, then takes a sip. Yeah, you're a loser for sure. Dinner is delicious and goes quickly. But I find that most of my time with Kat flies by. She's so damn interesting, willing to talk about anything and everything. And damn if she doesn't make me laugh. I want to spend more and more time with her, and that would have scared me off in the past. Hell, it never would have entered my mind in the past. I don't feel scared with Kat. I feel calm. Just as we're finishing our steaks, my phone buzzes in my pocket and I scowl at my mom's name. Damn. Who is it? My mother. I hold her gaze as I accept the call. Hello? Hi, darling, it's Mom. I just wanted to call and tell you I love you. I narrow my eyes, still watching Kat, and feel my grip tighten on the phone. That's the only reason you're calling? Well, I was hoping that I could talk you into reconsidering the little loan we talked about this morning. Little loan. She's quiet for a moment, and Kat's brows raise as she watches me. I know it's an inconvenience, but I need your help, Ryan. I'm scared. What are you afraid of, Mom? There are people who might hurt your dad if they don't get their money. The last few words are said with a whisper, and my gut tightens. Chase was right. Mom, there's someone I'd like for you to meet. Kat nods vigorously as if she's reading my mind, and I've never been as thankful for her as I am right now. Okay, that's lovely. Right now. We'll be there in 30 minutes. Oh, but I end the call and take Kat's hand in mine again. I'm sorry, Kat. What's happening? I don't want to drag her into this. It's personal family business, but damn it, I trust her. I've come to depend on her. She calms me in the middle of any storm, and I need her. My mom asked Chase and me for $5,000 today. We told her no, but now she says that someone might hurt my dad if they don't get paid. Oh my God, Kat says, holding on to me tightly. Chase and I asked her to leave him today, but she refused. We just pissed her off. I'm sure you did, she replies with a nod. What can I do? Will you please come to her place with me tonight and, I don't know, just be there? Of course, she replies immediately. I'll help in any way I can. I wave the waitress down and pass her my card, then sign off on it and we're gone, driving to my parents' house. Did you ever actually work as a counselor? I ask, trying to keep my nerves down. For about a year, she replies, and takes my hand in hers, holding on to me tightly. It just wasn't the right fit, But like I said, I still get to use my skills all the time. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. I can see that seduction not only challenges you and your colleagues, but you all enjoy it. We really do, she says with a nod. Did your dad enjoy real estate? I pause, thinking back. I think so. He never said he didn't enjoy it. I've never understood how everything went to hell in a handbasket so quickly after his business folded. Some people don't do well with fear, she says. You're right, and he's one of them. I doubt he's there, I say as I pull off the freeway. He's never home unless it's to sleep and pilfer for money. He sold off almost everything they own, including my mother's jewelry. My God, I'm sorry, Mac. I shake my head and lead her to the front door, but instead of my mom answering, it's Chase. Did she call you too? I ask in surprise. She called me first, he replies, stepping back to let us in. I made her call you too and then came over. This is Kat, I reply, introducing them. Kat, this is Chase, my brother. I've heard a lot of great things, Kat says with a smile. Likewise, Chase replies with a wink and leads us into the living room where Mom is sitting in her chair, twisting her hands in her lap. Ryan, she says with a smile, then jumps up when she sees Kat. Oh, you brought company. If I had known, I would have made a cake. I'm Bonnie McKenzie. Kat, Kat holds her hand out to shake Mom's. It's a pleasure to meet you. You're a lovely girl, Mom says, and smiles brightly at me. What a wonderful surprise. Mom, I brought Kat because I've been dating her, and I value her opinion. We need to talk about the mess Dad's in. This is not a conversation I'll have with a stranger, she replies in a loud whisper. It's family business. Kat slinks back out of the way and sits in a chair off to the side. She smiles reassuringly at me and sits quietly, wanting to be as unobtrusive as possible, as Chase and I have it out with our mother. Look, Mom, if you're scared because Dad's in trouble, we're not comfortable with you staying here. Chase sits next to our mom and puts his hand on her knee. You can't keep living in fear. I'm not leaving my husband, she insists. We had more than 20 years of happy memories. He's a good man. It's just been hard in the past few years since he lost his job. And everything else you own, including the house we grew up in. I'm renting this house and letting you stay here because he's ruined your credit, I remind her. When is enough enough? I promise to be here through good times and bad, and this is just some of the bad. He's a jerk, Mom. He's not the same guy you married 34 years ago. We all have our demons, she insists, her chin high. He's fighting his. I just need you boys to help us out a little. We help you out a lot, Chase says. But, Mom, I don't think we're really helping you at all. I think it's time you think about leaving. She stands, backing away from us and thrashing her arms about. I'm not leaving my husband. It's not like he beats me or sleeps with other women. When he's happy, things are good. I just want to keep him happy. I can help him. No, you can't, Mom, I say, frustration thick in my voice. You've been trying for a decade to help him, and he doesn't want to be helped. Why can't you see this? Just come with us, Chase says, stepping to her. We will help you. No, she's shaking her head vigorously. No, I won't leave. Why do you want me to be miserable? I can't do this without him. No, no, I won't. You're being unreasonable. Just listen. Suddenly, there's a loud thump on the coffee table, making us all turn around in surprise. Everyone stop right now. Kat's brown eyes are fierce as she looks at each of us in turn. Stop talking. You're not helping anything. I turn to Mom and see tears streaming down her pretty cheeks. God, what have we been reduced to? Our family used to be so happy, so connected, and now we're this? I'm sorry, Mom. I reach for her, but she backs away. Don't you touch me. I can't believe you're such a mean-spirited boy. I said stop. Kat says, glaring at all of us. Chase, Mac, take a deep breath and walk away. Chase starts to argue, but she pins him with a look that would make anyone obey. Take a breath, she says again, more gently this time, then turns to my mom. And Bonnie, you need to take a breath too. Mac, would you please get her a glass of water? Of course. I stomp into the kitchen, fill a glass, and return to the living room. And there's my girl, kneeling next to my mom, wiping her tears and speaking softly. Thank God I brought her with me. Thank God I have her.
Chapter 11. Cat. I can't bear to see them all hurting so much. I just need their help, Bonnie says, looking at me with pleading eyes. My hunch is that her husband verbally abuses her when he's on a losing streak. I understand, I reply and sit next to her. Maybe you can talk to them, make them understand. Well, I have another idea. I pass her the water and watch her take a sip. This isn't going to be what you want to hear, but I think you should give some thought to removing yourself from this situation. She visibly shrinks back, glaring at me now.
I'm not divorcing my husband.
I'm not suggesting you do that, I reply quickly. I didn't say anything about divorce. I understand that you love him, and I respect that very much. But you're frightened, Bonnie, and this isn't healthy.
He needs me, she says, a bit softer now.
I believe that. Of course he needs you. You're the only reason he hasn't hit rock bottom yet. But I don't say that. Instead, I nod in understanding. But look at your sons. She does as I ask, and more tears fall down her cheeks. They aren't trying to be unkind to you. They love you very much, and they're trying to protect you.
I don't need to be protected from my husband, she replies, but her fingers shake and she won't look me in the eyes now. He doesn't mean to hurt my feelings.
He has an illness, I reply gently. Bonnie, you leaving for a little while might be the only thing that makes him realize that he needs to get help.
But what if it doesn't work?
She grips on to me tightly now, desperately.
What if I leave and he doesn't get help or try to get better?
Well, we will cross that bridge if we come to it, but I can tell you with certainty that he won't get better if you stay. He will keep leaning on you to clean up his mess. I think he meant well in the beginning, trying to win money to make up for everything he lost in the crash.
Yes, that's exactly what he was trying to do.
But it's gotten out of hand, Bonnie. He's put you in the worst position you could ever be in when it comes to your kids. Does he become mean when he loses? She bites her lips and looks up at Chase and Mac, who are standing nearby, listening intently.
Sometimes, she replies in a whisper. But he's never laid a hand on me in anger.
We have so much work to do with you. My heart bleeds for her. Will you please consider going home with either Mac or Chase tonight? They will keep you safe, and you can think about how you want to proceed.
This is my home.
I know. I nod again and wrap my arm around her two thin shoulders. She's horribly malnourished. Both options are frightening. You don't have to have all the answers tonight, Bonnie. But I think it would make you and your sons feel better if you were somewhere safe.
How did this happen?
She asks blindly, shaking her head in despair.
We always had such a good life together. I don't understand.
All you can do is focus on right now and where you want to go from here. She swallows and looks up at the guys.
Would it make you feel better if I went home with you?
Yes, they both reply immediately. I have a guest suite, Chase says, and squats in front of his mother, taking her hands in his. You can stay with me for as long as you want.
Okay.
She nods and looks around as if she's a bit lost.
I guess I'll need to pack a bag.
We all help her pack up about a week's worth of clothes, some toiletries, and the book she's been reading from the library. And it's not long before she's locking the front door and following Chase to his car. Before she gets in, she turns to Mac and hugs him tightly.
Thank you so much.
I love you, Mama.
I love you, too.
She pats his cheek and smiles up at him.
You're a good boy.
Chase laughs good-naturedly.
It's an act, Mom.
He is a good boy.
she says as she lowers herself into Chase's car and slams the door closed, still talking as they drive away. Wordlessly, Mac takes my hand and leads me to his car. We drive back to our building in silence. I don't know what he's thinking, but I'm just plain tired. This has been an emotional evening. He walks me to my door, and when he would walk away, I take his hand and lead him inside. Come here. My voice is soft. The room is dark, except for the light coming through my windows, and I lead him to my chair. He sits, and I sit on the coffee table in front of him, my hands on his thighs, watching him closely. Talk to me. He shakes his head and wipes his hands over his face, then lets out a long, hard sigh. I can't believe you talked her into going with Chase. I think she wanted to all along. She just needed to be given permission and the reassurance that it didn't mean it was forever. Thank you. He scoops me into his lap and buries his face in my neck. His voice is raw. His hands grip me tightly as if he never wants to let go. I don't know how to thank you for this. Mac, I reply and tip his face back so I can look him in the eyes. This is what you do for someone when you care deeply and are in a relationship with them. He stills for a moment, blinks twice as if he's processing that statement, then pulls me in for a tight hug. I don't know if I've just scared him off with a relationship comment, but damn it, it's true. We've been seeing each other for weeks, almost every day. He is the best part of my day. And if that alone isn't the definition of a relationship, I don't know what is. And I'm 99.7% sure I've fallen in love with him. It scares the ever-loving fuck out of me, and I will not say it to him yet. But it's real. And it's there. We have all the time in the world to figure it out. Mac? She's going to be okay. It's going to take time, but she will come out of this better than before.
I hope so. She used to be so strong, so full of life.
He shakes his head.
It's like the light inside her just went out.
It's been a tough 10 years, I remind him. How long have you been giving her money?
She started asking about 5 years ago, he replies. Chase and I used to own the bar Nun Chains.
I love those, I reply happily, shocked that he and his brother used to own them.
Thank you. We've done well for a while. About 2 years ago, we sold the bars to a company that wanted to expand them and paid us handsomely to do so. After that happened, Mom started coming to us more often asking for help. It's been in the past year or so that we've paid all their bills. Chase was giving Mom a little cash here and there so she could put gas in the car, get her hair done, things like that. But Dad found it and started stealing it, so the cash stopped.
His illness is severe, I reply.
Of course you know that. He refuses help. If he'd swallow his pride and get some help, he could start selling homes again. The market has bounced back now, and he'd make a good living. But he's caught in this horrible cycle.
He has an addiction, I reply simply. It's not as easy as deciding to talk to a counselor and stopping. It's as bad as if he was an alcoholic or a drug user. He needs to go to treatment.
Chase and I would pay for it in a heartbeat.
It's not the paying for it. Your dad has to decide that he wants to get better. Until that happens, he won't change.
She's not going back to him, not like that.
I smile and drag my fingertips down his cheek. This has to be so hard on you, to watch a woman that you love choose to be in a relationship with a man so broken. You can't decide any of this for her.
That makes me crazy,
he replies, smiling ruefully.
But you've helped more than you can possibly imagine.
It's my pleasure.
You're amazing, Kat, and I can't tell you how thankful I am that you decided to brave that plane ride to California. I can't imagine my life without you, and I don't want to.
I'm right here, I reply, doing my best to soothe him. We sit here, staring out at our city for a long time. We don't sleep. We don't speak. We just watch the lights twinkle on the hill, holding on to each other. I've never felt so close to another human being in my life. He says he's thankful for me, but that goes both ways. My heart is in this, all the way, and that scares me the most of all. As I look back on my relationship with Sam, I realize that I was the one doing all the work. I wanted a relationship. I wanted to feel normal for once in my life. I wanted him to love me and respect me and be everything that I've read in books for so many years. And the reality wasn't even close. So I left him and chose to keep any physical relationships with men light. It's just sex. I have a very full life with my friends and our business. Adding a man to the mix just always seemed like too much work. And now I don't know what I would do without him. Without the way he calms me, makes me laugh, makes me feel. Yes, it's scary, but I don't want it to ever end.
Wake up, Red.
There's either a mouse walking across my cheek, or Mac is kissing me. I'm seriously hoping it's not the mouse, because I'm deathly afraid of them.
Come on, sleepyhead.
What time is it? I ask and open one eye, relieved to see Mac sitting on the bed. He's holding a steaming cup of coffee and smiling down at me. He's also fully dressed.
It's still early, just a little after 7.
I've only been asleep for 3 hours.
I know, I'm sorry about that, but I brought you coffee.
I stare at him out of my one eye, the other is still asleep, and take a sip when he presses the mug to my lips. Mmm, good.
I'm learning how to make your coffee just the way you like it, he says proudly. I need you to pack a bag.
Why?
Because I want to take you somewhere special.
I don't need to pack a bag to go to the roof. My other eye opens now, and I sit up, taking the mug from him.
A different something special, he says,
leaning in to give me an Eskimo kiss.
Will you go with me?
I have to work.
It's been taken care of, he says quickly. I've been up for a little while making calls. I've got it all covered. All you have to do is pack a bag and get in the car.
I blink at him, still waiting for the caffeine to kick in.
Are you awake?
He finally asks. Okay.
Okay, you're awake, or...
Okay,
I'll go.
His face lights up in pure happiness, so I lean in and kiss him on the lips. Do we have to leave right away, or do we have time for some sexiness?
We should leave, he replies and buries his fingers in my hair. But there will be plenty of time for sexiness once we get there.
Promise?
Absolutely.
Okay, then. I hand him the half-empty coffee mug and drag myself out of bed. I'll be ready in 30 minutes. We've been on the road for 30 minutes. Max still won't tell me where we're going, but we're heading west, so we must be going to the beach. We can only go so far until we end up in the ocean. I'm sitting quietly, reading, letting him be with his thoughts. He's been unusually quiet since last night. But I imagine I would be quiet, too, if I had something similar go down with my parents.
You're quiet, he says.
That's ironic. I was just thinking that I should leave you to your thoughts, I reply. How are you today?
Better, he says, and signals to pass the car ahead of us. Why do people drive so slow on this road?
Because it's curvy, I shrug. Have you talked to Chase today?
Yeah, he said Mom slept like a baby all night. He was going to take her out to breakfast, and then they were going to do some shopping.
That's great. Mac takes my hand and kisses my fingers. I'm glad that she's doing well.
Me too.
Are you going to tell me where we're going?
You haven't guessed. Well, I'm assuming the beach, but there are lots of those on the Oregon coast. Cannon Beach, he replies. I own a condo there.
No way! That's my favorite beach!
Good.
He smiles, then glances down at the Kindle in my lap.
I'm always on reading to you. Let's change it up. Read to me for a while.
Okay. I turn it on and begin to read. This is a romantic suspense, but I just started reading the sexy part when he interrupted me, so I pick up where I left off, describing a very detailed sex scene in a shower. This author is explicit with her language. And I glance over to see Mac's hands white-knuckled on the wheel. Do you want me to stop reading?
You're fucking killing me, he growls. But keep going.
My lips twitch, and then he says,
and the shower is now on my list for this weekend.
Oh, good, I chuckle, then continue reading. The hero lifts the heroine and pins her against the wall of the shower, and it's hot. I think I'm starting to sweat.
I quickly learn that this suspense novel is heavy in the sexy department. It seems they're having sex on every other page, but that could just be because Mac and I are in a confined space and I want him. Now. I've wanted him since I woke up this morning. He reaches over and rubs his hand up and down my inner thigh. His little finger grazes over the sensitive skin this close to my pussy, and my voice catches as I struggle to keep reading.
Are we there yet?
Keep reading, he says, his voice rough. I do as he says, and he keeps his hand on my thigh, setting my skin on fire.
Mac, I finally say in desperation, I can't read this stuff to you when you're touching me like that.
I didn't ask, he replies, and it only makes me hotter. That look in his eyes, the hardness in his voice makes me nuts. So I keep reading and try to ignore his hand, which is completely impossible, because this is Mac we're talking about, and he might be the sexiest thing ever invented. Ever. Finally, we pull up to a building and he cuts the engine. We both clamber out of the car and rush to his door. We'll get our things later, he says as he fits the key in the lock.
Good plan.
But rather than pin me up against the door and fuck my brains out like I expect him to, he pulls me into the living room, bends me over the end of the sofa, and yanks my skirt up around my hips.
I need this, and you're going to give it to me, he says with a growl.
Hell yes, I reply and cry out when he buries his face in my pussy, licking and sucking, and makes me come so hard I see stars.
I'm grasping at the cushions, trying to hold on as I ride out the aftershocks, and suddenly he stands up. I hear him open the condom, and the next thing I know he's inside me, filling me up and pressing me even harder into the couch.
You make me fucking crazy,
he says, bending over me to speak into my ear. He sweeps my hair to the side and bites my earlobe.
You're so damn sexy. Hearing those dirty words come out of your gorgeous mouth made me harder than I've ever been.
Now you see why I love it when you read to me, I reply and gasp, when he fists my hair and pulls back.
It's hovering on just this side of pain, and it's fucking amazing.
I never get enough of you, he says.
God, I love it when he talks like this. His voice is pure gravel and makes me tingle everywhere. He pulls out and guides me onto my back on the sofa, spreads me wide, and plunges back inside me. He's holding my legs up, his hands wrapped around my ankles, and he's watching as he moves in and out of me. So I reach down and rub my own clit, smiling with pure female satisfaction as his eyes dilate and then close. He bites my inner calf, then kisses me there before bracing my legs on his shoulders and covering me with his body.
So sexy,
he whispers against my lips.
It just gets better every time, I reply, gripping onto his ass.
You feel so fucking good, he groans,
and I can tell he's close to his climax. I push up and clench hard, just as he buries his face in my neck and comes rocking against me, the pressure from his pubis making me come with him. As we both return to Earth, the uncomfortable position registers in my head, and I push against his shoulder.
Can't breathe.
Sorry,
he says, rolling onto the floor and bringing me with him, breaking my fall and cradling me on his chest.
Better.
I kiss his shoulder and brace myself in my hands so I can smile down at him. I need to read to you more often.
I don't think my heart can take it, he says, shaking his head. If you'd said cock or fuck one more time, I was going to pull over and fuck you on the side of the road.
Well, that's something to shoot for on the way home.
He grins and slaps my ass.
You're my kind of girl.
Chapter 12. Mac. Let's go down to the water, Kat says a little later, after I have had my way with her in the shower. I just can't keep my hands off of her. I haven't been this turned on by a woman in ever. I'm game, I reply, and watch her lazily as she pulls on some clothes and slips her feet into flip-flops. You won't need the shoes. Good call. She kicks out of them and turns to stare at me, her brown eyes still bright from the several orgasms I've just given her. Are you going to put clothes on? Not that I don't appreciate it when you're naked, but my guess is this isn't a nude beach. I was just enjoying the view, I reply with a grin, and stand to put my own clothes on. You seem more relaxed already. Of course I am. We're at the beach. She sashays out of the room, and when I join her, she's put her sunglasses on and is walking out the door and down the steps to the sand below. I'm so happy that it's nice out today. I've found that even on a rainy day, there's nothing quite like being at the ocean. I take her hand in mine as we walk down to the waterline and walk slowly up the shore toward Haystack Rock. Did you know that this is my happy place? She asks, smiling up at me. Is it? Yep. She nods and inhales deeply, breathing in the salty air. I haven't been out here in a couple of years. I've just been too busy getting the restaurant up and going, so this came at a good time. I'm glad. We can come any time you want. Be careful what you offer. I'll have us out here every weekend. That wouldn't hurt my feelings, I reply. The idea of having you all to myself at the beach is incredibly attractive. You say some really sweet things. She drifts to the water to get her feet wet. I just say what I mean. And that's appreciated, she replies, then gasps when the cold water engulfs her feet. Holy shit, that's cold! But she stays in the water, calf deep, splashing and wading about. It is cold, but refreshing. We come upon a little boy sitting in the sand, maybe 10 yards from his mom, trying to build a sandcastle. He's getting frustrated and begins to cry when the dry sand falls into a smooth pile rather than staying in the bucket shape he's trying to make. What's the matter, buddy? Cat asks him. It's not working. He sticks out his lower lip. I've been trying to make it all day. That would be frustrating. She waves to his mom. Do you mind if I help him? Help yourself, the other woman replies with a wave and goes back to watching something on her phone. Cat just nods, irritation in her eyes, and squats by the boy. What's your name?
Kenny.
I'm Cat.
Like a kitty cat?
Well, it's spelled with a K, and I'm not quite as hairy. Kenny giggles, and I stand transfixed, my hands in my pockets, watching as Cat charms this little boy. And she says she's not fond of kids. You're having trouble with your castle?
Yeah, it just falls when I turn the bucket upside down.
That's not good. Can I show you a trick?
Okay.
She takes one of his buckets and walks down to the water, fills it up, then walks back to Kenny. Watch this. If you get the sand wet, it will get hard, and it's easier to build stuff. She packs the sand into a smaller bucket and shows him how to make it firm, making it easier to build the castle.
That's so cool, Kenny exclaims. You're really smart.
Well, I've built a sandcastle or two, she says with a nod. Do you think you can take it from here?
Yeah, thanks.
And with that, Kenny gets to work on his castle, his tongue sticking out as he concentrates on the task at hand, and Kat joins me, wiping the sand off her hands. He's cute, she says, but his mom needs to pay closer attention to him. We live in the electronic age, I reply, and wrap my arm around her shoulders, tucking her against my side. It seems everyone has their nose stuck in their phone. It's true. Did you know that before cell phones, the average length of stay in a restaurant by customers was about 45 minutes? And guess what it is now? I have no idea. More than an hour and a half. Double what it used to be because people are too busy on their phones. We've had people tell our waitstaff to leave and come back to take their order because they're too busy texting to look at the menu. And then they'll sit and not even look at the person they're with. They both just stare at their phones. It drives me up the wall. I mean, she continues as she kicks at the water, whatever happened to the art of communication? If I'm spending time with friends or someone special, I want to speak with them. I don't want to hang out on social media. You rarely answer your phone, I remind her with a smile. I know, I'm sorry.
I turn it on vibrate when I'm at work and forget to switch the ringer back on. I'm not one to carry it in my pocket all day. It's okay, I don't mind. I know you'll call me back when you see it. She grins up at me and splashes my leg. So I'm a sure thing, huh? I laugh, then tuck a piece of hair behind her ear. No, that you're not, Cat, and I like it very much. Well, that's good. She walks quietly beside me for a moment. Then, with a mischievous smile on her beautiful lips, she jogs ahead of me, splashing in the water, and turns to spatter water up at me, getting me wet. You didn't even try to get out of the way. She shakes her head and turns away, her arms spread wide, face tilted up toward the sun, and a wide smile on her face. This is so great. You're so great. But she's better than great. She makes me feel things that I never felt before, and honestly never thought I would feel. And I have to tell her, right now. I wade to her and cup her face in my hands. She smiling up at me, and she grips my biceps. I love your arms. I smirk and kiss her soundly, nibbling the corner of her mouth, then crossing to the other side to do the same. She's soft and so fucking sweet, I feel like I'm drowning in her. I'm falling for you, Katrina, I murmur against her lips. Her eyes open in surprise, and just when I expect her to say something along the lines of, this is moving so fast, she does what she always does. She surprises me. It's about time you caught up, she replies, and jumps into my arms, wrapping her legs around my waist and kissing me for all she's worth. So you're an arsonist, Cat says as I arrange the logs in the fire pit and work at setting them on fire. Or I'm just starting a fire so you don't freeze to death. I'm a man, keeping my woman alive. Well, there's a warm condo right over there, she says reasonably. Don't rain on my parade, I reply, and satisfied that the fire isn't going to fizzle out, begin spreading blankets and pillows over the sand. I'm just teasing. This is nice. She sits next to me on the blanket and watches the fire grow. The stars here are amazing. No light noise from the city, I reply, following her gaze to the heavens. There's Orion. And the Big Dipper, she says with a grin. When I was 8, my parents gave me an assignment to map out the constellations. At 8? I ask, surprised. It was fun, she replies with a nod. I had to map it from scratch, using this really cool telescope and books that they bought me to study. At 8. It wasn't that hard, she replies, a bit defensively, and I lean over to kiss her cheek. You really are a genius. According to my IQ, that's what they say. But honestly, I think a big part of it was my parents. They expected a lot from me, academically speaking, and they began teaching me when I was only a few months old. Wow. I went to work with them and listened to conversations between literal rocket scientists. I was around some of the most prolific minds of the 21st century from the time I was in the womb. So I don't know how much of it is nature versus nurture, but my guess would be some of both. And what about when you have kids? I ask, surprised when she starts shaking her head furiously. I'm not having children. Why not? She pulls her knees up to her chest and hugs them tight, still gazing up into the stars. Because I don't want to do that to them. I don't want to put so much pressure on a child to learn quickly, to get it right all the time. To get what right? Everything. My parents are awesome, and they're smart, but they are intense. Failure was never an option for me in anything that I chose to do. When I was a teenager, I decided that I wanted to try my hand at something normal. So I signed up for volleyball through the high school. You can do that? Yeah, I was homeschooled, but it had to be affiliated with a local school, and we had the option of participating in their elective classes and sports. So I thought it would be fun to join a sport and be around other kids my age. Seems reasonable. How did it go? It was a fiasco. She laughs and turns to me. The glow from the fire lights up her face.